Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A new court document says Britney Spears' dad has been paying himself $16,000 a month for the past 12 years. An Arkansas man accused of murdering a woman in her home while he was supposed to be installing a satellite dish. And a prominent New York City sommelier accused of starting fires at restaurants near his wine bar. All that and more today on The Dark Side of the News from The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of Wikipedia.
That it is, and it's The Dark Side of the News and our Friday News Roundup. If you like our program, please consider supporting it and becoming a Dark Sider at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. And you're going to get yourself hooked up with all of our advanced episodes, the final chapters, and all of it's commercial free. So if you like the show, you want it with no ads, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Well, Tony, there is dark news this week.
Yes. It's always
and
dark news.
And I'm just going to say it, that I'm really pissed off about this dark news, is that my damn Chicago Cubs traded my favorite player.
Oh!
To the freaking Yankees. And I don't like the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
They could have traded him to the Cardinals and it would have been almost that bad.
Who is the
no,
player?
That would have been worse, actually. But still. Anyway, I mean, I love Anthony Rizzo. I feel like this is really dark and depressing. It kind of goes with the theme of the show because the Cubs have been my favorite team for my entire life. And as you all know, and I'm really bummed. Like, I love him so much. I named my cat Rizzo.
Well, had he gotten more touchdowns, I think maybe it would have been a different decision.
He just couldn't get a goal to save his life.
I know. I mean, I know he had those couple slam dunks. And,
his
you know,
three-pointers needed some work.
But
I know.
If you're not cutting it, you're not cutting it. And sometimes that's just the way life goes. So.
Oh, I just got to suck it up and face it. You know, the thing. Oh,
you got to face the facts.
I know, and I got the feeling by the time this airs, my other favorite player, Chris Bryant, might be gone too.
He had three love the other day, but, you know, not every game is going
to
be a winner.
Three love to me sounds like some kind of a swinger move.
Kind of does.
Like, it was like a three-way.
Oh, God. You know what? Here's a funny swinger story for
really
you.
I don't know a lot about tennis.
I don't either, but I got a funny story for you. So I was recently informed that a neighborhood that I had recently lived in was quite the swinger neighborhood. And
now are you disappointed that you moved?
Oh, fuck no. Because they had said someone had mentioned to me about people putting pineapples like on their house or like on it was like. Is this like a swinger symbol or something? Or is this like just localized to that neighborhood? I don't know. But I guess if there was a pineapple on somebody's house, then people knew that that was a house that participated in these parties.
Man, what if like one night you're coming home and you had like lots of groceries in your arms and you set down your pineapple to open up the front door? And then you forgot
and
the next thing you know, there's swingers coming by.
Yeah. Oh,
what the hell are you doing?
Hey, Dick and Diane, what's going on? You want some pineapple?
As I strip down to nothing.
Like, what do you mean, do I want some pineapple? Well, we just saw the pineapple. Oh, yeah, I left that there when I was putting groceries away earlier.
I didn't realize it.
Thanks for pointing. Do you guys want some pineapple? And then you bring them into your house, and all of a sudden it's like you're standing in the kitchen, and then all of a sudden, what are you doing, Di?
Dick, put on your clothes.
What the hell?
What was his name again?
Yeah. What is going on? Dick, what are you doing with my wife? Why is my wife enjoying? What the fuck is this? All I did was, I just left the fucking pineapple on the porch. What the fuck? Now you're fucking my wife, and yours is doing something. She can't get this goddamn zipper down because it's been fucking broken for months. I said we should fix my zipper. You're like you're enjoying yourself over there. What the fuck? It's too tight. I can't just pull them down. What are we doing? Is this about a fucking pineapple? That's
you would never look at a pineapple the same way again.
That's
now
what
every
could
time
happen.
I go to the store and I see pineapples, I'm gonna be like, oh.
That's the sad reality of what probably was going on in my old neighborhood.
What if you if you left a can of pineapples, you know, like
what if
pineapple rings?
What if it's canned pineapple? Not like the actual pineapple, but it's canned pineapple. Is that like are we getting kind of class system on who's in the swinger party? Like if it was like a fresh pineapple, you're like, oh, you're gonna get the A-listers. But if you're leaving like the canned pineapple out, it's like, oh, Gertrude and Matilda want to come over later. They're from the older. That's what the canned pineapple means? Okay.
I was
I'm sorry.
Thinking canned pineapple would be like, I only go so far.
I think it's like, more of like age what do I get? I only have canned, but these are the rings. What if I put out the chunky? You know, that's, oh, that ups the age. Oh, okay. Oh, shit. Okay. Well, count me out for tonight, guys. Have fun.
Or if you put out the fresh pineapple and then they show up and they're like, what the hell? Like, you're 50 years old. We're not having sex with you.
I'm sorry.
You know that you're supposed to put a can out?
Yeah. That's a can of pineapple. You know, that's what we got
Once
going on.
Once you hit AARP, it's only canned pineapple, bitch.
Once you hit AARP, it's only canned pineapple, bitch.
They would leave all disgusted. I'm not doing you. I'm a swinger. I've got standards.
But anyway, I was very surprised to hear this. I guess I was unaware that these scandalous things go on in some neighborhood. And this is a higher end neighborhood. I mean, there is a lot of, you know, people that work for that big blue department store in the higher up echelon that lived in there.
Well, I mean, it's a good stress relief.
I guess they're all just like kind of living out their lives of Eyes Wide Shut or something. I don't know. I mean, I wasn't suspecting a swinger party, but it was kind of odd when there was the satanic music and the men that were wearing nothing but leather chaps on my neighbor's lawn that one day. And they had the smoke going on and the weird reverse music. I mean, a lot of people were wearing leather walking into their house. But again, I just thought it was kind of, you know, maybe a theme night, you know, chips, crackers.
Well, and then your neighbor, Rosemary, she was pregnant. And you were like, she's all pregnant. I can't believe she's having a party.
And she had the baby. And I swear to God, the child had like kind of a weird thing going on its head. There was like two kind of protruding things. And I just, you know, let's not point. Let's not make the child upset or make the parents feel weird about it. Let's just kind of ignore it. It was weird the names he would respond to, and you know there was some growling. But I said, you know, let's be adults about it and let everything just be okay.
Rosemary parent the way she wants to.
Said Rosemary's baby over there is a beautiful little child, and is going to do great things in this world.
And his eyes kind of look like goat eyes, but other than that,
he's going to do great things in this world. Probably going to be a really popular figure someday. And let's wish him all the best. Why does I can't stop staring at him? What is going on? This is really uncomfortable. Yeah. So that's my old neighborhood. Let's go into the first news story of the day, and it comes to us from Britney Spears' dad. He's been paying himself $16,000 a month for the past 12 years, according to the story. Getting this from Yahoo News. Britney Spears' new lawyer, Matthew Rosengart, made a direct petition to remove Jamie Spears, her father, from her conservatorship on Monday. documents filed by Rosengart allege that Jamie Spears has been paying himself $16,000 a month since 2009 through Britney's estate. Monday's filings mark the first time Britney Spears' legal team has formally moved to remove Jamie Spears from the conservatorship. The documents included statements of support from Britney's mother, Lynn Spears, and co-conservator Jody Montgomery to remove Jamie Spears as a conservator. Mr. Spears has profited handsomely from his daughter's conservatorship by way of illustration only. Since at least 2009, Mr. Spears has been paying himself $16,000 a month from Miss Spears' estate, $2,000 more than he allotted to Miss Spears, Rosengart wrote in the filings reviewed by Insider. Mr. Spears also pays himself an additional $2,000 a month for office expenses, again from Miss Spears' estate. Insider reached out to Jamie Spears litigation counsel Holland and Knight for comment in a June court hearing after Britney Spears spoke. Vivian Lee Thornton, an attorney for Jamie, said he is sorry to see his daughter in so much pain and he loves his daughter and misses her very much. The documents also allege that after Jamie Spears removed temporary from his title as conservator, he started to pivot. Rosengart also said Jamie Spears has paid multiple teams of expensive attorneys to represent him and the conservatorship, including in actions routinely against Miss Spears' express wishes. In addition to the monthly compensation, Mr. Spears has paid himself a share of the revenues generated by Miss Spears' performances. He's repeatedly received 1.5% of the gross revenues generated by Miss Spears' performance and merchandise sales across with her highly successful multi-year Las Vegas residency. The petition said Britney Spears' gross revenue from Vegas was about $137.7 million plus merchandise sales. Mr. Spears' cut from that residency is estimated to be at least $2.1 million. He also received 2.95% commission on Miss Spears' gross revenue on her 2011 Femme Fatale tour, which yielded him an estimated $500,000, although it's common for managers, agents, and other industry professionals to receive a percentage of an artist's earnings. Mr. Spears is none of those, Rosengart wrote. He's a conservator, and as a conservator, his role is to be burdened by, rather than benefit from, the conservatorship, Rosengart said. There you go. That's quite an interesting thing that's going on with the Spears family. It seems
Doesn't
like...
Doesn't that piss you off?
Yeah.
Like, when I read that story, because I sent it to you, when I read that story, I was so angry.
Yeah.
He is making more than Britney.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that to me is criminal. Like, he isn't looking out for what's best for her, and that's what the conservator should be doing.
He's not, like, her manager or anything like that. Where, I mean, if you were in that role, that's where some of those arguments could be made. You could be like, well, you know, this is my job, this is my life, and I'm managing a superstar, then you could kind of argue that some of those figures are fair. But for just being the one that's here, I'm here to look out for my daughter so things don't go awry, I think things are going awry, and it's not because of her right now.
Well, and you think how many years it's been going on, and he's making that kind of money a month?
Yeah.
Like, that's just criminal to me. And he's getting a cut, like, percentage-wise, what a manager would get.
Well,
and he's not even managing her.
How... I mean, what is going on with Britney Spears? I mean, is she that gone that she literally at this age has to have basically a caretaker? I mean, we just take her out of the cage and then go on stage, do your Britney thing. Here's a snake. You know what? That kind of seems like what's going on.
Right. And if she is together enough, that's this whole movement, the whole free Britney thing.
Yeah.
Because if she's together enough that she can get on stage and perform like that and memorize the choreography and do all of the things, like, that's a lot of pressure.
If she,
and
yeah.
she for a while, if you remember right, when she was kind of, when she had her meltdown.
Like 20 years ago.
The documentary, I get why she had a meltdown.
Sure.
I do. That is not surprising to me. And like, then, you know, you would see her on a award show or something and she just, like, she couldn't do the choreography. It almost was like she was super medicated or something.
Mm-hmm.
She might have been. But, you know, that Las Vegas residency, that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And she did it.
I mean, if she's able to do that, does she need this kind of control over her life?
No.
I mean, for God's sake, she's almost 40.
So, and she could get, there could be someone in place, well, that does what, I mean, they should have done. But I think she could get a financial advisor in place.
Yeah.
You know, she might make some bad decisions with her money, but my God, as much as her own father has cost her.
Yeah.
She could have blown through all that money.
Yeah.
You know, all that, and he, like, she's getting $14,000 a month, which would be quite a bit of money to you and me. But to Britney Spears, that's not that much money.
Sure.
That just, and so she has to pay all her bills out of that? Maybe, I don't know. That's just her allowance.
Maybe it's spending. I don't know. But
then yeah. Today I read, I've obviously gone down the rabbit hole, but today I read that the mom accused the dad. There was some physical altercation between Britney's sons and the dad.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That's what the mom said today.
Shit's getting real.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's, I think, is that the first time Britney's made an appearance on the program as far as a discussion point? I think it is.
But I do think we need to revisit it from time to time.
Yeah, I want to watch the doc on it, and I also think it might be an interesting dark side. You had mentioned that the other day, too.
Because I think it is a dark side. Yeah. You know, it's like, to me, everything that happened to her, when you look at the paparazzi and how she was treated and judged and all of the things, like, you know, she couldn't walk out of her house without just a swarm of people following her.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of time before she would have a meltdown. I just couldn't imagine. That's not any kind of way to live.
No, not at all. Let's go to our next story. Arkansas man accused of murdering a woman in her home while he was supposed to be installing a satellite dish. Oh, hey, this is a good one. This will make you feel safe every time you got somebody coming into your house to do some sort of work or repair. An Arkansas man was arrested this week in connection with the murder of a woman who was found dead in her home. Dylan Estes, a former satellite television installation technician, is facing a charge of capital murder in the fatal stabbing of 44-year-old Chrissy Hayes, who was last seen alive on July 12th. 2020, KTVE reports. Arkansas State Police agents believe that Estes, 26, worked in Hayes' trailer home in Banks the day of the killing. Her body was found on July 13th after friends contacted police because they hadn't heard from her, police said. A motive for the slaying is unclear. Bradley County Sheriff Herschel Tillman said, according to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, Chrissy didn't deserve to die the way she did, and no one had the right to take it away, and that person or persons is still running free, Hayes' mother, Mona Gregory, told KTVE in July. Estes appeared in court Monday, but was given no bond, Camden News reported. He's being held at the Bailey County Jail, the Democrat Gazette reports. So, I didn't hear a whole lot of evidence pointing to him other than he was at her house the day this happened.
Well, there has to be something.
I don't know. I mean, is...
Because they're not saying he's a person of interest.
No, he's been arrested, so...
Yeah.
So this was last year that this happened. I'd be interested to hear what the evidence is. You know, that would be... when you think of, like, careers and how I like to worry about anything I possibly could figure out to worry about, that would be something I'd worry about, is if I was a repair person and I was just, you know, going in and out of people's houses all day. You got to figure out the odds on this, that at some point your odds of being in a home where a horrible crime is committed later in the day probably go up. You know, it's probably pretty, you know, high at some point the longer you're doing that. And then you're wondering, well, what if, you know, I'm the only one at that house that day and they can trace me to being there because of the records or whatnot. And then, you know, would I get framed for murder? And that's why I say I want to know more about this case of what sort of evidence is there, because it could be as something as simple as that.
So now what you've done is some really horrible person who's listening is like, oh, my God, I'm going to ask a cable guy to come over.
Yep.
Then I'm going to sneak in and kill her.
Exactly. That's what you do. There's a book about this, How to Murder People for Dummies. It's at some Walden books that are in malls that are closed down. It's
they're still Walden books?
Yeah, they're in malls that are closed down. But the book is there. It's on a shelf. You just got to find it. You can buy it from the man that's sitting in the corner with all the candles around him shaking. He sells the books in the Walden books in the malls that are closed down. And he sells that book there.
He doesn't take debit cards.
He doesn't. Only Bitcoin and heroin. So, exactly. And sometimes blowjobs. So it's
because he's got a pineapple.
He's got a pineapple right next to the circle of candles and his spoon that he uses for all the meth. He's got the book, though. And if he doesn't have it, he can get it in stock, usually within a couple days. Just ask
get
for him.
Get the book and get out. That's yep. What we're saying.
You know, it's like I said, it's in the Walden Books in the mall that's closed down. So, yeah. It's a great read. It really is. Sometimes he has sales too. It just depends what day you go in on. And 855.
And somebody else who's like, Walden Books.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I gotta go to the mall. Yeah, the one that's closed down. Tony said it's
still open. Knocking on the mall door. Hello. Hello. I need to get to the Walden Books. In the mall that's closed down.
I need that book on how to murder my wife.
For dummies. It's probably got a yellow cover and a big black line across it. Can I get in? Can I? I'll blow you.
I see your pineapple.
I see the pineapple.
Even though it's a can, I'll still do you anyway.
I don't care that it's a little lunch single of pineapple. There you go. This is the shit that goes on in abandoned malls in America, everybody. If you're listening,
that's the shit that happens.
If you're listening in another country, I can guarantee you can find some abandoned mall in Arkansas and that shit's going down. Let's go to our next story here on the program. A prominent New York City sommelier accused of starting fires at restaurants near his wine bar. This is interesting. Is this like a scare everybody else away from the other restaurants so they all go to his wine bar?
I don't know. I have not heard this.
A well-known sommelier is facing criminal charges in New York City for allegedly setting three fires, including two that damaged the outdoor dining structures of restaurants in Lower Manhattan. Authorities released surveillance footage that they allege shows Caleb Ganser, 35, using a lighter to set fire to the outdoor dining area of Prince Street Pizza. The July 13th arson allegedly started when Ganser lit a napkin holder attached to the wooden structure ablaze. Fire officials say Ganser, who is a partner at a Manhattan wine bar, set a pile of rubbish on fire June 26 and torched an outdoor dining structure at an Italian restaurant for Scytha back in January. The January fire resulted in $3,500 in damage. Ganser, named a Food and Wine Sommelier of the Year in 2017, is charged with two counts of third-degree arson, two counts of third-degree criminal mischief, and three counts of second-degree reckless endangerment. Every act of arson has the potential to spread rapidly, endangering the lives of New Yorkers and FDNY members, said Daniel, a commissioner of the New York City Fire Department, in a statement. Thankfully, in the incidents, there were no injuries, and the suspect has been apprehended before another fire could be set. Motive is unclear. People was unable to determine if Ganser had entered pleas to the charges or had a lawyer might be commenting on his behalf. Calls to numbers listed for him were unanswered. Ganser has an ownership stake in Le Compagnie de Vins Sorrentiales on Center Street. I think I said that completely accurately. In a statement to the New York Times, the wine bar's management said, "We, as the company, are aware of the incident. Mr. Ganser is on leave of absence." Because he was out setting fires. So what on earth do you think?
So he's the sommelier.
He's like, yeah, like
he. So he's the wine guy.
Yeah.
But he's not an owner. But he's well known
yeah.
for being a great wine guy.
Yeah.
But then he sets the pizza place on fire.
Yeah.
Like. That doesn't really make, because even if the pizza place had some decent wines, mm-hmm. they're not a wine bar. They're a pizza place.
It kind of reminds me of the Sommelier incident from 94 at Buck's Country in Lovin', where the Sommelier there was getting really mad at the other country Western bars and the line dancing stuff that was going on. And he would go and set line dancers on fire while they were line dancing. And this is back when Walmart was using that fabric that Kathy Lee made, and it just like went up in flames right away. So there was a lot of country Western bars that went up in flames because of that sommelier. I mean, the sommeliers, especially at the country western bars, they're a little shady.
Yeah, and especially the ones that traffic in pineapple wine.
Yeah, that shit, you know, you don't know what's going
on.
Watch
out for those guys.
What's going on behind the Coors Light display? Yeah, you don't want to know.
Yeah, they're doing shots of pineapple.
Yeah, exactly. It's something you don't want to be involved with.
It almost sounds like this guy in New York, though, is like going to work and then doing a little meth on the side.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, I'm like, well, at least he's like trying to take out the other like competing restaurants or what? But no,
it didn't say he was an owner.
It sounds like he was, you know, either, you know, there's an addiction to that. Is he getting a thrill that way or is he on something? I don't know. People are just do the strangest things now that.
I mean, not us, but everybody.
But everybody else. I mean, I am without sin. We all know that. So, mm-hmm. I'm glad we've established that in this conversation.
I've known you for a long time. Yeah, so, yeah,
I am.
No sin there.
Without sin. And it's just kind of how things work.
I'm casting all the stones.
Yeah, that's what allows me to freely do that. Is because I have nothing, because I'm without sin. So, what a crazy person. Everyone's crazy except for me. No.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just how it works. Leah, let's do one more in here. Ronnie O'Neill III sentenced to 3 life terms plus 90 years for the murder of a girlfriend and a 9-year-old daughter. And this guy represented himself in court, which if you look up the story, you're going to go, holy shit. And if you watch his performance in court, you're going to go, holy shit. Ronnie O'Neill III will officially spend the rest of his life behind bars for the double murder of his girlfriend and daughter. Judge Michelle Sisko, the 32-year-old has been sentenced to 3 life terms plus 90 years in Hillsborough County Court Friday. O'Neill will get credit for the 1,224 days he's already spent behind bars. In a rare display of emotion for nearly 8 minutes, Silco looked Ronnie O'Neill in the eye and described his crimes at the worst case she'd ever seen in her 19 years as a judge. 19 years I've been on this job and I've seen human beings killed at the hands of others in every way imaginable. You name it, I've seen it. Shootings, stabbings, drowning, suffocatings, blown apart by cars in DUI manslaughter cases. Horrible things. And this is the worst case I've ever seen as far as the facts go. In June, O'Neill was found guilty by a jury for the 2018 murders of his girlfriend, Kenyetta Barron, and their nine-year-old daughter, who had cerebral palsy. The jury also found O'Neill guilty of the attempted murder of his then 8-year-old son, who he stabbed and lit on fire. Additionally, he was convicted of arson and aggravated child abuse. There's no way any person any feeling could have witnessed or seen the photos of what occurred that night and not be haunted for the rest of your lives. And I know I will be. For the rest of my life, I will be haunted by what I saw, Judge Sisko told the courtroom. Sisko looked into O'Neill's eyes and appeared to almost start crying herself as she explained how the horrifying details of his daughter's death will haunt her forever. Lil Ronnie testified that all he could see was tears coming out of his little sister's face. And that moment, the child knew she was beyond or being betrayed in the cruelest, most tragic and sorrowful way, she said. The judge went on to discuss how she'll never forget the sound of Kenyatta Barron's screams, which were captured on 911 audio and played repeatedly over the course of the trial. If anyone ever wants to know what it sounds like before a human being dies, knowing that their death is imminent, that's exactly what it is. That was a death scream, Judge Sisko said. Jurors spared O'Neill's life with their verdict, and Florida jurors must unanimously agree to recommend for death before a judge could impose a sentence. O'Neill represented himself during the trial, claiming law enforcement tampered with evidence and he had acted in self-defense. But before the trial began, he told prospective jurors he believes in the death penalty while addressing them in court. When it comes to the death penalty, I just want to let you all know that me personally, I am for it. If somebody has committed these crimes, they are worthy of death, he said. O'Neill and his defense team now have 30 days to appeal the ruling.
That's so horrific.
Yeah.
And that's when, excuse me, like, I think it would be so difficult to be a judge or a, even either side, a lawyer, well, he was representing himself, but Like, if you're appointed to be his lawyer, not like you said, hey, I think you're innocent, I'll take you on. You know, you're court appointed and you have to defend somebody like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's clearly something wrong with this guy. And I'm sorry if there's something that wrong with you and you do these things, you're beyond rehabilitation. And I think you also kind of don't have the right to live out your rest of your days just kind of hanging out in behind bars either. I think if you're that defective, we can do without you. We don't need that.
That's just sad.
O'Neill is finally deemed competent to stand trial and announced he'll be defending himself.
The evidence is going to show he did not see me shoot his mom.
The jury sat through a week of agonizing details and listened as O'Neill cross-examined his own son, now 11, who he was accused of stabbing and setting on fire.
How you doing, Ronnie?
Good.
It's good to see you, man.
The jury deliberated the following week, finding O'Neill guilty on...
He does have a particularly interesting hairstyle, if you'd like to check that out as well. A lot of detail.
That is poor, poor son.
A lot of detail to that hair.
Like, he's traumatizing him all over again.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a fucked up story. And it's a shame he didn't get the death penalty. It really is.
God, that bothers me.
I'm really cool with that for somebody like this. This just utterly insane. All right. That's going to wrap up the dark side of the news for this week here on Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like our program, please become a Dark Sider. Sign up to be one over at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes. It's all there for you, and it's all commercial free. patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Dark Side of Wikipedia.